from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. Well, half of an hour for you.
Yeah, half of an hour.
Yeah, we got James heading down to Monty McNair's post-trade deadline press conference. That is today at noon. So, James, as our ESPN 1320 Kings insider, and of course, proprietor of the Kings Beat, kingsbeat.com, and subscribe to the Kings Beat podcast wherever you get your podcasts. He will be down there covering that press conference. I will be with Damian Barling for the final half hour of this show. We'll talk Super Bowl props, predictions, just general Super Bowl stuff. That's what we've been doing so far today. What are you going to ask Monty in his presser? What are you hoping to ask?
I mean, I think the question is like, it's just sitting there and it has to be asked like in a tactful way, but the goal was to maintain and improve. Mm-hmm. And I understand maintaining because you are the same record that you were last year, but I'm having a hard time seeing the path forward to improvement. And I'm wondering why they didn't address some of that at the deadline. But you know, who knows? Maybe they didn't have something. Maybe they didn't. Maybe whatever was out there was too costly, and they just weren't going to dive in and, you know, trade a bunch of assets when it could be something that doesn't move the needle. And the other thing, what if some of the players that you want, or all of the players that you really covet, just weren't available? Mm-hmm. What if, you know, the Wizards just weren't going to trade Kyle Kuzma, and the Jeremy Grants of the world just weren't getting moved? And so I think at the end of the day, like, if you don't need to make a move to make a move, you need to make a move because your team is struggling here and there. You need to make a move because your team isn't great. But, you know, like, those are some of the questions that, like, I would probably hit Monty with.
Can't wait. That's coming up at noon. But coming up right now, Mad Props.
It's time for Mad Props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's Mad Props.
Hell yeah, here's Mad Props. We haven't done this in weeks.
I haven't heard the intro forever.
It's been, seriously, like, because I wasn't here.
Yeah, you were gone.
2 weeks ago. We didn't do one last week. God, we haven't done this in like a month. All right, well, it's back, and it is for the Super Bowl and the Kings matchup against the Denver Nuggets. So I thought about doing a Super Bowl only, or a Super Bowl Sunday edition of Mad Props, because the Kings play on Super Bowl Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But the nature of the bit gets ruined if somebody gets hurt or sits out or whatever.
Well, that's true.
So I did tonight's game, and I feel good about it. All right.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey, here's how we're going to start. Christian McCaffrey touches. So that's receptions and rushes.
Mm-hmm.
Or Domantas Sabonis points against Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets.
I am going Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
27 touches, I think Sabonis will have 18, 19 points. But that's where I'm going.
I land at like 22 for McCaffrey. I'm also under the impression that we're going to see some Elijah Mitchell. Not for like a heavy workload or anything, but I think we're going to see him on the field together at certain times, particularly maybe in like a second and one where they want to get really weird. Man, I think we're going to... So here's what I'm going to go McCaffrey, but I think it's because Domas is going to try and get Keegan Murray going. He's going to try and get De'Aaron Fox going.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to go and see Jokic and be like, yeah, I'm going to go get us 40 tonight. Keegan Murray didn't have a point last game. I think that we're going to see Sabonis really try. And whether this is good or not, I don't know. I think we're going to see him really try and get into the offense where he's facilitating and getting other guys going and living at that, you know, 16, 17 points, like you said. And I think McCaffrey might do more than 16 or 17 just carries. Not on top of, not including his catches.
I think he's going to get a lot. Like, I think it's going to be more like 25 to 27. Like, I do think.
That's a game to do it.
Yeah, like lay it all out there. Yeah. I mean, like, this is a legacy game for him as well. Like, he wants to go down as a Hall of Famer and all these things, and he's on his path, but, like, he needs a signature game in the playoffs.
I will tell you why later, and not because it's a secret, it's just not that good of a story, and I don't want to burn airtime with it, but I'm so happy you just said the words legacy game. Debo Samuel carries or De'Aaron Fox missed free throws?
I am going to go Debo. Okay. I think Debo's going to have 5 or 6 carries, and I don't think Fox can... Yeah, I think that they're going to... I think one of the first plays of the game is going to be a Debo end around.
So I think I think that he's going to get maybe like 3 carries, and I think we're going to see like those little shovel passes, those quick little pop passes. I think that's what we'll see a couple of. I'm going to go De'Aaron missed free throws because I think you're going to see him try and attack the paint a lot tonight. And I think they're going to try and put Jokic in defensive actions, which we'll talk about coming up. And I think there are going to be a lot of trips to the line tonight for De'Aaron Fox.
Okay. I mean, I hope so. Like, I mean, I hope that's the way that De'Aaron attacks this game because he needs a get right game.
Like a 7 of 11, 8 of 12 type of game from the line. And then I think Debo gets, like I said, 2 or 3 carries and then some other kind of touches. I think he'll be heavily involved, just not so much as a rusher. Brock Purdy passing yards or Kings Nuggets total points?
I'm gonna go Kings Nuggets.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think you're probably looking at like 220 or something for Brock.
Okay.
And I think it's because the yak is just not going to be there as much. I don't think there's going to be a short throw that goes for 50 yards. I don't think you're going to see anything crazy like that. And I don't know how much downfield stuff there's going to be. I think he might complete a lot of passes, but I don't think it's going to be for a ton of yards.
I think he can still throw 250. I just think that Kings Nuggets, if it's competitive, will be like 265.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Same pick, different reasons.
Yeah, see, Casey Tucker in the chat said 267. I don't know if he meant, he said passing yards. Total points? I don't know. Total points, I'm thinking 265.
Okay. Brandon Ayuk targets or Keegan Murray 3-point attempts?
Brandon Ayuk targets. I'm going Ayuk.
Okay.
Oh, that's tough.
Here's why I'm going Keegan, and if my logic swings you, go ahead and change your pick. I'm going Keegan because he had no points last game. And I mentioned earlier, I think Sabonis is really going to try and look for him. I think the Kings are going to run actions for him and try and get him going. And I think you see Keegan put up like 8 or 9 3-point attempts. And I don't know that the targets are going to be there for Brandon Ayuk. He lives in the intermediate and deep areas. And that's where I don't think the Chiefs are going to let the 49ers necessarily beat them.
Okay.
So I think you're looking at maybe 5 or 6 targets for Brandon Ayuk. I think you're looking at 8 or 9 3-point attempts.
I'm going to counter with this. I know that the Chiefs want to take that area away. If they try to take that area away, McCaffrey's going to rush for 150 yards, and Debo's going to get another 80, and you're going to beat them on the ground into submission.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. All right. Jake Moody made field goals or triple doubles recorded in the Kings Nuggets game?
Triple doubles. I think there will be two, and I think Moody will kick one.
That's exactly what I had my. For the sake of the bit, I'll go with Moody. The Niners stall out a few times in the red zone, and he gets a couple of chip shot field goal tries.
Okay.
And makes those. Last one here. 49ers first half points.
49ers first half points.
Or Malik Monk points.
Oh.
Malik's been rolling.
Oh. Okay. Can I do a spot on?
You're going to go draw?
I'm going to do draw.
Oh, come on. That's a lot of faith in me, and I appreciate you for it. Thank you.
I am. Wow. I'm going draw. I'm going to say 17 each.
17 each. Okay, I'm going Malik. I think you're 17's about right. 17, 18. Super Bowls are hard, man, especially early on. I think the Niners go into the half with like 10 or 13 points.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going for the split.
I hope you're right.
That would be sick.
That would be really cool if that happens. All right. That's mad props. We will keep these recorded. If you did your own, write them down, and we'll go back over them on Monday after the game. We'll assess the numbers, figure out which ones are right, which ones are wrong. We will pick a winner between me and James, of course. And if you do better than us, then we will throw your name on the screen and give you the props for it. The mad props.
The mad props. We'll give you mad props.
All right. Final segment for James coming up. I'm hanging out until noon. Damian Barling will be here at 11:30 to talk some football with me. But before we do that, we got to talk Kings Nuggets, keys to a Kings victory, and the matchup to watch. We'll have that for you next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. Whoa. I forgot that Mad Props is supposed to have the full bed. So that's why you just heard that on the way out.
Oh, okay.
My bad, y'all. Okay, here we go. We're out of here on ESPN. Not out of here. We'll be right back on it. Jesus. Go.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Oh.
All right, we're back. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Kings Nuggets tonight at Golden One Center. Figuring out how to push buttons on the radio. James, we mentioned this earlier. Let's talk about it now. The matchup to watch in the Kings Nuggets game tonight. What is the number one matchup that you were looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the battle of the bigs is just spectacular in this game. Again, these are two of the great bigs that we've seen in the game. And the fact that I am going to mention Domantas Sabonis in the same breath that you do Nikola Jokic, like these guys were like one and two in like so many offensive categories last year, like plus minus, like all the advanced statistics. Sabonis was incredible last year, and he is this year as well. And then Jokic, to me, it's one of the greatest joys of watching basketball is that sometimes somebody comes along that just doesn't make any sense, and they're so good at not making any sense, and they just stand out, and you just sit there the whole time like, I don't know how it is that you are this wonderful at basketball, but I'm here for all of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is like a prime matchup. And I think they really battle each other well. They do.
Yeah. A lot of the same strengths and weaknesses as players.
Mm-hmm.
And I think each one tries to exploit that on both ends. So, yeah, I think this is the one. All due respect to the De'Aaron Fox, Jamal Murray matchup.
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot of fun. I would expect... maybe they'll throw Keegan on Jamal Murray at some points, but I think you're going to see De'Aaron Fox try and take on that challenge. And I really think that after last game, I think you see a more spirited effort from the Kings tonight, particularly De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to involve checking Jamal Murray And I think that'll be really, really fun. But as far as the matchup to watch, it's Sabonis and Jokic, and I don't know if it's close.
No, this is going to be brilliant. On the season, Jokic is averaging 26.3 points, 9 assists, 12.2 rebounds, 1.2 steals, and a block. He's a little bit better shot blocker. His three-point percentage is 36%, where Sabonis is well over 40% right now. Mm-hmm. But just, he's so gifted around the rim. He's so, like, he shoots those, like, moonshot 17-foot jumpers that there's nothing you can do about it. There's no one in the league that can touch it.
That's the big difference between Jokic and Sabonis for me.
Yeah.
Is Jokic shoots it 18 times a game, and you just mentioned the threes. He takes three of them a game.
Yeah.
There are more areas of the floor that he is dangerous offensively as a scorer.
I also, like, if I'm going to rate that, like, Sabonis is a better rebounder than Jokic.
Mm.
The fact that Jokic is taller, he ends up getting a few more rebounds, but Sabonis has been one of the most consistent rebounders we've ever seen in the game.
Mm.
Like, he's like Fred McGriff hitting 30 homers and knocking in 100 RBIs every year when it comes to rebounding. He's over 12 every year for like a 5-year stretch.
Yeah.
Jokic is very tall and has very long arms, and he ends up getting a bunch of, and just because he's such a big guy, he ends up getting a bunch of cheapies. That's not what Sabonis does. So I think he's a better rebounder, but I also think Jokic is a better passer.
Are you implying that Sabonis doesn't get any cheap rebounds? That's crazy. That's nuts.
He's
a great rebounder. I don't want to take away from that, but he has plenty that just fall to him.
No, there is, but he also does a lot of the work.
Yes.
He doesn't work hardly.
He battles.
He clears out a lot of space, and that's why he gets some of those that just fall to him.
Yeah. It's not a lot of just putting his arms up and tipping it away from smaller defenders.
It's also not the
smaller opponents.
Yeah, the old Moses Malone rebound putback. He doesn't like play tip in like Jokic does on occasion. Jokic averages 3 offensive rebounds a game.
His offensive rating this year, Jokic's, is 132. Oh my God.
Yeah,
he's so good, dude.
He is. That's really, why, really good.
Yeah, him and Sabonis battling is gonna be a ton of fun, and I can't wait to watch it. Let's talk keys. How do the Kings get a win tonight against the defending champion Denver Nuggets after losing to the 6-win Detroit Pistons? James Ham.
Forget Detroit. As much as we want to just like go at them for that. This happens.
Mm-hmm.
You need to just move past it.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it yesterday at practice. They really did feel like a team that's like, they're in good spirits. They're having a good time. They felt like a team that is moving past whatever happened that night.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's what you have to do. You have to be a goldfish in the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. If they go in tonight, like, oh my God, if you put that pressure on yourself, that's not going to fly. I don't think that, you know what, you can't forget Detroit insofar as like that effort and understanding that what that effort leads to in the NBA, but you can't also dwell on it.
Yes.
Especially if you didn't have a great game on either side of the floor. Number one for me, I talked about this earlier, as good as Nikola Jokic is offensively, you need to put him in every single offensive action. I want to see, I don't think we will, but I would love to see just a bunch of Fox and Sabonis pick and roll where they are getting Jokic, trying to defend De'Aaron Fox going downhill. The Kings are going to get out and run, you know, when they want, but I would love to see them make Jokic play defense.
Yeah, you need to tire him out. That's a good way to do it. You should push the tempo. You should go at him. But, you know, again, this is a guy that he's sneaky good defensively.
Yes. Yeah, he's a really crafty defender. Like he knows where to be on the floor. He knows how to use his size, both his body and his arms. But at the same time, if he's trying to chase De'Aaron Fox around the court, that's not going to work out for Denver.
No. And again, he's been in the top 10 in defensive win shares each of the last 4 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And he's finished the 2021-22 season, his second MVP. Mm-hmm. He was second in the league in defensive win shares.
Yeah, like I said, not because he's a bad defender, but it is a way to gas him.
Yeah.
So, number two.
De'Aaron Fox needs to step up. He hasn't been good enough since calendar year turn 2024. just honestly. Mm-hmm. He's averaging in the month of January, he averaged 22 points a game. Right now he's averaging, I think, 24 points a game in February. Like, they need him to be a force like he was for the first 3 months of the season.
Mm-hmm. I'm right there. The Kings are going to go as De'Aaron Fox goes. Number two for me, every three-point defense thing Mike Brown talked about after the Pistons game, you got to go execute it against Denver.
Just
Denver
do
doesn't shoot a ton of threes, but they make a lot of them. So that's literally execute the defensive game plan. You have to, because Denver will shoot it at 65% if you leave them open. Number three.
Number three for me, show you belong.
Hmm.
The Kings they've got a tough stretch here. And they need to regain their footing and put their stamp back on the season. And they're going to have an opportunity here against very good teams to mm-hmm. show that there is no playing down to the level of competition. Either you're going to play up or you're going to get stomped again yep. and again and again.
Yep.
So show that you belong right now.
Yep. Number three for me, bench has got to stay hot. Malik Monk's been really good. Trey Lyles been really good. Davion Mitchell, I thought, was good against Detroit. Whether he continues playing or not, TBD, with Keon Ellis with the full roster spot now. But whoever's coming in off the bench, we talked about Denver's depth earlier. I think you have to match that and potentially be better if you're gonna beat them. So I would like to see the bench continue to do the lifting they've been doing.
Yeah, and I would like in on that note, I'd like Mike Brown to kind of put his money where his mouth is when it comes to the 3-point line. If you can't defend the 3-point line, you have a player in Keon Ellis that you just signed to a full roster spot, who's earned his way onto the roster, who brings energy, but who also defends the 3-point line better than anyone else on your team. I'd like to see him get some action.
Yeah, definitely. All right, that's three keys to a Kings victory. If they do those things, they will beat the Denver Nuggets. Hopefully, they've been listening. Actually, that's six. Six keys.
Six
we
keys.
Each give three. They do those six things, they will beat the Denver Nuggets. Before we get out of here, James, let's get a Super Bowl prediction, which is Sunday after the Kings take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Are you taking the Chiefs or are you taking the 49ers?
Taking 49ers 23-17.
I refuse to waffle. My knee-jerk pick.
No waffling.
No waffling. My knee-jerk reaction pick after the NFC Championship game was Chiefs 30, 49ers 23. I am more optimistic now about the 49ers' chances than I was after the NFC Championship game. The more I've talked about it, the more I dove in. But I'm not going to change my pick.
Oh.
I'm sticking with my guns on this, and I think the Chiefs repeat as Super Bowl champions. All right, that's where we're at. We got plenty more coming up on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to the Insiders. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Final segment, taking you up to noon, D'Lo and Kenny will take over at noon. But right now, I'm Kyle. That's Jesse. Jesse Tapia in the building.
Coming in off the bullpen.
Coming in out of the bullpen, sitting in the big chair for the first time in Studio 2. How does it feel?
Are you comfortable really in weird. There? It's almost like I feel like we're not on air just because I don't have the board in front of me and all that.
You feel like you're like setting everything up for Damian right now?
Yeah, this is honestly really weird. Like, the mic's just right here or whatever, but I'm with it. It's a big boy chair.
Okay, great. So, I'm glad you're here. You're a huge football fan. You're not a fan of the Chiefs or the 49ers. I have two questions because I want to know how you're watching this game. I know how 49ers fans are watching. I know how Chiefs fans are watching. But, A, I want to know. I know there's a ton of Raider fans in the chatty house. I want to know how you're watching this game. I already know Ramsey's out. Ramsey's like, I'm not watching. I'm not taking part.
Yeah, he's not watching the San Francisco football team.
That's fine, and I totally respect it. If you're committed to hating both teams, like I said, that's a vibe. I respect it. I would like to know if you're a Raider fan. Who are you rooting for here? Who do you want to see win? But Jesse, you're a Dolphins fan. How do you consume a Super Bowl that features the 49ers and the Chiefs? Is there a team you like more or less? Is there a team you're rooting for? What do you like?
I'm not rooting for anyone. I mean, the Chiefs beat up Miami in the first round of the wild card or whatever. I'm over it. Not mad or whatever, obviously, but... No, I mean,
don't write that I'm mad. Yeah, don't put in the newspaper that I'm mad.
I'm not rooting for anyone in this game, but I do think the Niners are going to come out of this one.
Think they're going to win?
Yeah, I think they're finally going to put it together.
Why?
I don't have like this hard hitting analysis. It's just like against Detroit and Green Bay, they just played horrible. Like against Green Bay, they played good for about 7 minutes of the game, and that was good enough to get them the win. Mm-hmm. Against Detroit, you played a good second half. That was good enough to get you the win. Mm-hmm. Now I'm just kind of like, I believe they're more who they were in the regular season rather than who they were the last 2 weeks. So I'm just pretty much waiting for them to put it together, and I think they will on Sunday.
That's the thing I'm having the hardest time with, and it's such I feel like a bad analyst or whatever, but what you just said is the correct answer. I think if the 49ers play like they did September through December, I think they go in and win. But I'm anchoring really hard to the playoffs, where I can't get past the fact they had to come back to beat the Packers at home. And then they had to come back from 17 down and needed a lot of luck to go their way to beat the Lions at home.
Maybe it's Team of Destiny vibes?
Maybe. If that's the way you want to go, maybe that's just what it is. Like, yeah, they made the plays. Detroit didn't. The Niners did. That's why the Niners are here. And now Kansas City, Detroit had guys dropping passes left and right. And now you have a Kansas City team who it feels like their receiving core has been defined all year by drop passes. So maybe that's just kind of what it is. But I think what you say is accurate, though. Like, we have a 17-game sample of the 49ers being, for the most part, dominant. But then you have this 2-game sample in the playoffs of them having to piece together ways to win.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going into this game and they're putting up 30 like how they were during the season. I don't think that's happening. I think my prediction right now would be like 23-17 49ers right now. I think it's going to be a lot of defense or whatever, and I'm giving the edge to the 49ers because they got CMC, Debo, Ayuk, and all those other guys. Mahomes is obviously one of the greatest to ever do it, but I just like the Niners' weapons to get him enough points.
That's what's funny is to me, like, all of everything you just said, like if you stacked up position by position, the Niners are coming out on top at a lot of them. Like running back for sure, wide receiver for sure, tight end is a push. Maybe you lean Chiefs, given Kelce's kind of track record,
and particularly they're the two best tight ends in the league.
Yeah, but particularly with Kelce, how good he is in the playoffs. So maybe you lean Chiefs there. Offensive line is like a wash. The Chiefs offensive line is not very good, but neither San Francisco's defensive line. You're probably taking San Francisco linebacker. So you see, like, the playmakers are there for the 49ers. The roster is there, but all of that is just overshadowed to me by Mahomes. It just,
well, yeah, because you look
like
at
none of it might matter.
Yeah, because you look at them, like they didn't play great all regular season, which call it what it is. They kind of, I don't want to say got by, but Mahomes carried them.
Yes.
And then come playoff time, honestly, I think they're playing their best football all season.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of pointed to that Bills game where they put up, I think it was like 27-24, however many points or whatever. It looked kind of like, all right, it's kind of like back to normal. So, like, it's back, yeah, without the weapons and all that, somehow Mahomes just makes the machine go still.
I hate it.
No,
he's really good.
He's one of the greatest ever.
He is, and that's why.
How do you feel going into this? How do you feel going into this against the GOAT?
That's the funny thing is, like, if they lose, it's like, well, yeah, that's Patrick Mahomes done it again. But on the other hand, I'm of the belief, and James and I talked about this a little bit earlier, but I'm of the belief that, like, this is it. Like, this is their last shot with this group of players and this coaching staff.
Talking about for the
49ers.
For the 49ers?
Yeah. And if they don't, so there's this, like, anxiety that comes with that of they've been really close in four of the last 5 years. They've been so close. And if you go through this 5-year run and you leave it without a title, it's really hard to imagine, like, oh yeah, they'll get there. They'll be back. Like, they'll just be back. Like, they got a bunch of dudes that are getting old.
Yeah, I get that. And let me ask you a question. Is this a Kyle Shanahan legacy game?
Dude, the legacy game thing? Yeah, for now.
And
like,
I'm saying,
for now,
like,
but
go ahead. Still a top five coach and all that. Like, he's not, oh, like, he lost. Fire Shanahan or whatever. But it's more so, at some point, you got to win the big game, right?
Yeah, no doubt. But it's legacy for now. Like, Andy Reid's legacy was, wow, what a joke. Time management. He stinks at time management. And now all of a sudden he gets Patrick Mahomes, he's one of the best coaches of all time.
Yeah, and he carried that and all of a sudden, legacy for about 13 years or so.
Right, and everybody looks back at those Eagles years and goes, man, look how successful the Eagles were. Look at all the playoff trips. Look at all the playoff wins. Nobody looks back and goes, yeah, Andy Reid has three Super Bowls? Two Super Bowls with Patrick Mahomes?
Two, yeah.
Yeah, they've won two with Patrick Mahomes. Man, but look at all the years with the Eagles. Hey, it's just, he's just an all-timer now.
Yeah.
I heard somebody on a podcast the other day go, man, if Bill Belichick doesn't get back into the NFL, Andy Reid's going to surpass him as the coach of this era.
Maybe not.
It's like, that's a lot. But that illustrates, I mean, whether that's true or not, TBD, but that illustrates how much, you know, you talk about legacy game. For now, yes. If the 49ers lose, there is going to be on this program, on D'Lo and Kenny, on First Take or your favorite sports talk show, it's going to be like, can Kyle Shanahan ever win the big one? Kyle Shanahan falls short again.
Yeah, because you know they're going to tie the Falcons one to him too, which is the weirdest thing that people do.
It's so nuts. The Patriots had 200 yards in the fourth quarter by the fourth quarter alone. 200 yards and a half is a lot.
Dan Quinn got a second job because Kyle Shanahan got the blame for that job.
Yeah. That's facts.
Nobody talks about, yeah, Dan Quinn blew a 28-3 lead or whatever.
I was listening to a sports talk radio show on the way into work. So it was like early morning. It was one of those East Coast shows. And they literally were talking about that Super Bowl. And they went, who is the head coach? They didn't even know that Dan Quinn was the head coach. It's the weirdest thing. But no, you're right. That gets put on him, right? And that's okay. It is what it is. I think it's ridiculous, but if that's going to be the case, then yeah, you're going to see if they lose this game, particularly, and I think this is built. If the Niners lose, and they lose 23-17, it's just kind of like, man, all right, Chiefs were a buzzsaw. Niners didn't play well enough. We lost. If they get blown out, it's like, man, they really just kind of fell apart down the stretch. Chiefs turned into a buzzsaw. Wow, what a defense. The Brock Purdy question comes up. Like, dude, they got into the biggest game and they lost 38-10. Like, oof.
If they were to lose, how would you see it going?
I think like that 23-17 where the Chiefs are just kind of like better.
I got you.
But if they blow a late lead, there's no coming back from that. If they're up 20-10 going into the fourth quarter and they lose 24-20, yikes.
We're getting the Shanahan late quarter stats out.
Oh, dude, 1,000%. And that's when, so I think any loss, but particularly that kind of loss, like that would sting.
Yeah, a loss with a story behind it.
Yeah. And you're going to get the, can Kyle Shanahan, can the 49ers ever do it? Da 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 da. Like that's going to be the thing. But dude, if it turns out that Brock Purdy is, and I don't think he is, so calm down. If it turns out that he is Tom Brady and just hides and masks all these mistakes moving forward, and the 49ers win the next four Super Bowls, or four out of the next 10 Super Bowls, nobody's turning around and going, yeah, but Shanahan didn't win the big ones then, so his legacy is tarnished.
Well, it's like just, you said, it's a legacy game now, but 3 years from now, what are we talking about?
Yeah, it'll define what people think of Kyle Shanahan moving forward, but it's not like, oh, I think they should fire him if they leave. I'm not going TC on him.
Yeah.
Or if they lose.
Shout out TC.
Big TC guys. But no, I don't know. I'm already annoyed at the discourse, especially if they lose in the fourth quarter, or if they blow a lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's fair. Cause, I mean, looking at it, like, realistically, just as it's a football game, like, the team on the other side is pretty good still, too.
Yeah, right, it's the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's probably one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and it's probably one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Yeah, like, so you go to, all right, so they lose in 2019 to Patrick Mahomes. Like, they just 3rd and 15, Niners got pressure, he completes it to Tyreek Hill, the wheels kind of come off from there, Jimmy Garoppolo can't make a couple of plays, ball game's over, right? 2021, Jaquaski Tartt drops an interception. Tartt hauls that in. The Niners probably win that game.
Yeah, that was a big momentum changer right there.
Yeah, that's not like Kyle Shanahan. And then they had chances to go down and score, and Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't get it done. The Rams tied the game late. Niners don't get it done. Rams take the lead. Niners have a chance to go down and retake the lead. They don't. So that to me isn't like, wow, Kyle Shanahan just didn't have him prepared. And then Brock Purdy gets hurt against the Eagles, which I personally don't put that on Kyle Shanahan. So I there's nothing that's happened so far in Shanahan's tenure that says to me, like, oh, he can't be the guy. They can't get it. They cannot get it done because of him.
Well, yeah, when they're not decimated by injuries, they're one of the four best teams in the league every mm-hmm. year.
Yeah, like that. And that's the thing I do come back to, though, is there was talk about, so you remember in weeks 7 and 8, when they really got torched, and a little bit less so in week 6, but we'll lump week 6 in there too, that three-week stretch where they lost 3 in a row. You heard all about this effort from their defense. Like, man, the effort, the missed tackles were too high. The effort just wasn't there. They were out of gas, this and that. I heard that same kind of chatter after the NFC title game. And A, I think that's ridiculous. I think they just got pushed around. But let's say that's the case. And let's say they come out in the Super Bowl and it's the same thing, where they just look lethargic. That is the thing that I'll come back to, and that I'm putting on the coach.
Is it a coach thing, or is it just a matter of that's just one of the team's weaknesses, though?
Because I feel that's like that's on the coach to me.
That's fair.
If it's a mindset problem, because I give Kyle Shanahan so much credit in 2017 and 2018, and to a lesser extent 2020, when those seasons should have been over, right? They were 1-10 in 2017. Jimmy Garoppolo starts, they win 5 in a row. That wasn't just because of Jimmy. Jimmy Garoppolo made a big difference, but the team was still playing really hard.
Yeah.
2018, Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt. They won a late game against the Seahawks. They nearly beat the Bears, who were a playoff team that year. They beat Denver down the stretch of that season. They were playing hard for all 17 weeks. And I'm going, man, that's coaching. Like, these guys want to play for Shanahan and want to play for this coaching staff. If you're at the point that you're reaching the Super Bowl and you run into an effort problem, like that's where I turn around and I'm going, what's happening there? What's happening in that locker room that made those players take the field and go, nah, not today?
See, all right, to counter your point, though, isn't that just like a player problem, though? Because if you need your coach to get you pumped up when you're in the Super Bowl, like, that's on you.
Yeah, I think a little bit,
but like you said, like the effort and stuff on defense and all that.
Yeah, I think a little bit, but I think when something like that happens, to me, it always comes back to the coach. Like, what's happening in the locker room that led that player to not be fully invested in the thing they were? And to be clear, I don't think that's going to be a problem.
No, yeah.
I don't think, I think the 49ers are in a space where I'm sitting here going, hey, this is probably their last shot to do this. George Kittle's 30. Christian McCaffrey's almost 30. Deebo Samuel's almost 30. Eric Armstead is entering the twilight of his career. They're in this spot that they're not going to have a ton of opportunities to continue. Trent Williams is in his mid-30s.
Yeah, if anything, you turn it around, it's not their last shot, but it's their best shot.
That's it. And that's why I know that somebody might bristle, like Kenny, going, they got to win one this year. This is just, they got to do it. I agree. I don't think it's, like I said, I'm not saying that it's fire everybody, blow it up, everything's a disaster if they don't, but it is so hard to go to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
As you saw with the Niners the last couple of years.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my favorite team to win a playoff game, so.
It is so damn hard. How many times have we seen a team that you go into the year and you're like, man, that's a great team, and then they flame out in the first or second round?
There's always one every year.
Right. It is so hard to go to the freaking Super Bowl. And I think expecting the 49ers to just go, oh, hey, they've been in the playoffs for the last 5 years. They've been to two of the last five Super Bowls. They've been to four of the last five NFC Championship games. Yeah, they'll just kind of continue this. That's nuts. They've gotten so lucky to get to this point. And it's so hard at the beginning of a season to just circle a team. It was the Niners and the Eagles. Niners, Eagles all year. And then it was like, oh, maybe we'll sneak the Cowboys in there. And sneak at the Cowboys. The Niners never left that upper echelon of team.
Yeah, no.
In the NFC. And then, you know, across the board, there's, you know, the Bengals and the Chiefs and the Bills and the Ravens. The AFC is so loaded. But the Niners were never really in question of like, hey, is this team a Super Bowl contender?
Super Bowl odds come out every year and they're always near the top.
Right. And that's really, really hard to do. And that's why I think this year, it's like, man, you had a not easy road, but as easy of a road as you're going to get in the NFC.
You're probably, I don't want to say facing the weakest, I don't want to say weakest Chiefs team, but just...
It is.
This team doesn't have weapons on offense, you know?
It's the least dangerous of the Chiefs teams that have been in Super Bowls recently. Save for the 2020 Super Bowl, the 2020 season, 2021 calendar Super Bowl, where their offensive tackles were hurt.
Yeah,
and the Bucs
just running for his life the entire game.
Right, but like, save for that, this is I think the most beatable Chiefs team, and you avoided the Ravens who kicked your ass. You avoided the Bills who looked like a buzzsaw. You avoided the Dolphins, which I'll say for you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I got you. So you avoided all these teams, and you get a down year for the Chiefs. If you're not doing it now, I don't know what you're doing.
It's like we said, it's their best shot.
Man.
Like, they'll be around next year. They'll probably win the division the next 3 years. They'll be in the mix and all that. You'll be playoff, win games and all that. But, like, everything is there for them on Sunday.
Yeah. I think that's why it's so nerve-wracking.
Oh, I bet.
Like, I'm just I try really hard. I'm going to be vulnerable for a minute. I try with my podcast and with my writing job to be, like, down the middle. I don't call myself a journalist. I'm not. Like, James left the radio show early to go cover a press conference. He's at every home game for the Kings. I am not that. I go to some Niner games. I'm not around. I blog. I watch the team. I follow the team. I don't consider myself a journalist. I'm more of a commentator, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Like, Stephen A. Smith, commentator. Don't consider him a journalist anymore. Skip Bayless. Used to be a journalist. Now he's a commentator. Okay. That's where I land. But I try and, like, play down the middle. I try really hard to leave my what I want aside. And I look at it as objectively as humanly possible. And are my glasses rose-colored, red? You know, sometimes? Yeah, probably. Like, that probably feeds into some of it. But I really try hard not to. With this game specifically, I am trying so hard not to lose my mind. Like, I try really hard to, like, all right, I'm gonna write, and it's gonna just be like down the middle, and I'm not gonna like freak the hell out, and I'm just gonna stay within myself. And then, sure enough, first big third down of the game, I'm like standing up, I'm like hands on knees, I'm like deep breaths, sweat a lot.
That's just part of it. That's just part of being a fan.
I know, and it's just I'm as I was growing up, I loved being a sports fan, and I still do. But when I started to get into journalism and I started to see what it is about, because that was my degree at Sac State, was journalism and mass comms. Shout out to the comms department. But my whole thing was like, man, I hope I cover a team that's not one of my favorite teams, because I don't want to have to like lose my fandom. And my fandom's definitely different now, but it's not gone.
Yeah.
Like, I still stress out.
I feel like times are different now too.
Oh, like, for sure.
Like, back then, it's like old school journalists, no cheering in the press box, blah, 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 blah.
Back then? My college years are back then? That's crazy.
Well, not you,
but. That hurt.
No. You with me. You're good. You're good. Right. We handle the bars together. You're good.
Sweet. All right,
we handle Sky River together. We're good.
Hell yeah, we do. But shout out 32 Bruce Street.
No, it's different now. I think now you can be a full-fledged fan and all that. But like you said, it's just, you can feel it still.
Yeah, it's Bill Simmons. Like, exactly. Bill Simmons started this. Mm-hmm. When he became a nationally known person, that was when it became. And you see like people on like the Ringer, and you see people at like, you got Ian Rappaport tweeting about how much he loves the Mets.
Yeah, yeah.
I just feel like 20 years ago, you never would have seen anything like that. But yeah, man, I would obviously, I would love to see the 49ers win, particularly like putting aside what I want. And what I would love to be able to celebrate that, like with my mom, like that's our, like we've been going to Niner games since I was 8 years old. But aside from that, like there's a content thing.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I don't want to talk about another freaking Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm asking you about that too, because like you've been producer at other stations and stuff like that. Like, is this going to be like your first like show hosting after like a big Niners game? Not like a divisional round or whatever, but like after the Super Bowl, where you like, you're going to have to share your thoughts and all that.
I was on Niners postgame for the NFC title game last year. But that was a weird one because it was like the game was over in the first quarter. It was just kind of waiting for the clock to run out and figuring out how bad the score would be.
Just and all that throughout the game.
Yeah.
It was just kind of over once he was out.
Yeah. But yeah, this will be the first time I've had to like come on after a championship loss if they lose.
I mean, it could be a win maybe.
Maybe.
It's going to be a good show to tune into on Monday.
Yes. Oh no, no doubt. Like, there's going to be so much to talk about. I just don't want to have to talk about another loss because I'm already tired of the Brock Purdy discourse.
Yeah.
I'm already tired of the Shanahan discourse. It's like, ugh.
Well, it's another thing too. Is like you see your team go every year. Like, all right, finally, this is the year. Because my thing too is I'm thinking like if they don't win this year, they're kind of a modern version of the Buffalo Bills from the '90s. You're not losing the Super Bowl every year, but it's just like, all right, these guys just can't do it.
Well, and they were so good. And for what?
Mm-hmm.
Like for. The Shanahan era 49ers, if they don't win a Super Bowl this year, are just going to be forgotten to NFL history.
Yeah, they're just maybe you make some documentary about the best teams who never won. Maybe.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you can be there, but nobody watches that.
Nope.
Nobody cares about that, and I think that's where a lot of the like anxiety and the stress come in. Is it's like the Lions. All right, Lions lose the NFC Championship game. The Lions feel great about their chances to go back.
Oh, that was the best year of some of their lives.
The Niners, you saw with the Eagles. Like, it is hard as hell to lose a Super Bowl and then just pick up the next year and just go back. So if you're wiping 2024 off the calendar, now you got to go to 2025?
You lose some guys, too.
You're losing guys? You guys got getting older, less effective?
Big game on Sunday, Kyle.
It's enormous. So you've got the 49ers winning.
Yeah, 23-17.
All right.
Put it together. They're going to get points on the board. Shanahan's fine. They're going to do it.
Is Kenny here? I would love to get Kenny's prediction.
He's here somewhere.
Yeah, he's back there.
He's back. He's behind you.
All right, that's fine. Is he wearing, what is he wearing today? Oh, he's got the gold satin jacket on. I'm so jealous of that jacket. God, that's so sick.
Yeah. Kim came by the studio the other day. She's like, hey, do you want a Niners friendship bracelet? I was like, no, I don't think it'll go with my Dolphin sweater I'm wearing right now, but thanks.
Niners friendship bracelet? They're doing the Taylor Swift thing?
Yeah, yes.
Are you in or out on the Taylor Swift thing?
I'm in.
Me too.
Yeah. I'm all in, to be honest.
Maybe that makes me lame, but
no, it's good.
If it makes more people watch football, I don't know why that's bad.
Yeah.
Like, the complaint about, like, they show her too much. I'm not looking at my TV anyway, bro.
Yeah.
Between plays, I'm scrolling my phone.
Like I said, close your eyes, cuff your ears, la, la, la. There.
Yeah. Like, if you're annoyed by, I get it.
Yeah,
it's not the end of the world, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
They show way more egregious things during football games.
Exactly.
I've seen Jaguars fans hop into pools of mayonnaise. And you want to talk to me about Taylor Swift?
I've seen Ed Reed lay a wide receiver running a slant right down the middle. That's worse than seeing Taylor Swift. All right.
Wow. It's a take. Ask Kenny real quick who's winning
on Sunday. What's your prediction? Your mic is on.
I'm coming. I need the people to see me.
Oh, he wants the big boy
here
mic.
Here we go. Oh, boy.
I'll see you guys in the other studio later.
Stay here. I just need the people to see me.
We're out in like 30 seconds.
Niners, 31-24. We're going to talk about it more. I'm going to tell you how we get there. I'm going to let you know how we get there. Let's go.
All right. D'Lo and Kenny coming up next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.